This is the Janet Murray Show, episode 281.
You're listening to the Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to find new customers or clients and how to do it fast. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to let you know about my upcoming live event. It's called Content Live and it's happening on November 15th and 16th. So that's 2018 if you're listening in the future. Now, if you're listening to this episode when it goes live, then it's July and you're probably thinking, well, that sounds like ages away. But I think we both know that that will come round very, very quickly. So Content Live is my annual content planning masterclass. The idea is to get you in a room for a day with myself and other business owners. And it's 2 days, in fact, so that you can plot out your content for the coming year. So day one is what I'm calling our inspiration day. So that's the day when I'm inviting some of the UK's most talented content creators to come and talk about how they're creating really effective, engaging content. So the kind of content that's getting likes, shares, and engagement every single day, and how you can do that too. So at the moment, I've got Emily Quinton from Make Light booked. I've also got Bookish Bronte. So she's an Instagrammer and she has built up a huge following on Instagram in quite a short time. And actually, she's just finishing up her university education and she's basically made a business on Instagram. So I think it's well worth what she's got to say on how to get engagement on there. I am adding new speakers every day, but that first day really is all about inspiring you to create really engaging content and really upping your game. Day two is about the implementation. So that's when you'll actually make your plan. You will actually get one as part of your ticket. So you'll get one of my media diaries. So this is my annual diary that I bring out. It's an A4 desk diary with key dates and awareness days that you can use to plan out your content. So you'll get that at the event. And on day two, we'll use that and some other resources to plot out your content plan for the coming year. So the tagline we're using is 2019 sorted. And that's really what it's about. It's about getting 2019 sorted, about getting your plan done so that you can get on with running your business during the year. So I'm sharing it now because the tickets have just gone on sale at my live event, Media Influence Live. Obviously, we're offering a special price
for those who book early. So now is the time to get in there and get your ticket.
And if you have any questions, I do know it's a big decision to make to come along to a live event. It's going to be happening in London, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that at the beginning, but it is a big decision to attend a live event, especially if you're going to invest 2 days in coming along. So do drop me a line if you have any questions about it. It's janet@janetmurray.co.uk. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to find new customers and clients. And I'm going to be sharing with you a process that I use to find new customers or clients, particularly when I'm doing a launch. So if you're on the go while you're listening to this podcast, so if you're out running, if you're at the gym, if you're driving, if you're walking your dog, or maybe even if you're washing up or cleaning, whatever it is that you like to do while you're listening to the podcast, then you may want to come back to this bit later. But if you are in the position where you can grab a piece of paper and a pen, then please do, because I'm going to share with you a process that you can use, which just involves getting it all down on paper and getting it done quick so that you can actually start to take action. And you'll be able to come back to this again and again. So if you have managed to grab a piece of paper and a pen, what I'd like you to do is to draw a circle in the middle of your page. Now, this circle should be big enough to write a few things in, but not so big you can't fit anything else in on the page. Then what I'd like you to do is to draw a ring around that circle that gives you space to write in. So draw a ring around that circle, but it needs to give you space to write in. And then what I'd like you to do is to draw a ring around that circle. And again, it needs to give you space to write in. So what you should essentially end up with is a circle with a circle inside it and another circle inside that one. So with all your circles in place, what we're going to do is we're going to use this diagram to help you to qualify your leads. And by the way, if you struggled with the circles, then just divide up your page into three areas. But, you know, the circle thing, it really helps to kind of crystallize it in your head. But if you're struggling in any way, just divide your paper up into three areas. So the first thing we're going to do is look at who your hot leads are. So who are the people who are most likely to buy from you. And these people generally are people who are your current customers or have done business with you in the past and or their friends. In your inner circle, so in the small circle that you drew in the middle, I'd like you to write down who you think your hottest leads are. So these are generally your current customers, people who've bought from you in the past and also sometimes their friends. In the case of, I'm going to use my recent live event, Media Influence Live. I'm going to use that as an example for you to put it into context. So when I was launching the tickets for that event, I looked at who my hottest leads were. And the first group were the people who came last year. So people who came to the event last year had a good experience. They're probably one of the most likely groups to buy again. So I put those in my hot leads area. The second group were people who were on the wait list. So in January, I'd actually put out a call for speakers. And as part of that, I'd started a wait list for people who wanted to hear about when the tickets went on sale. So we had a couple of hundred people on that. So that was another group of hot leads. Also, members of my membership community, the Love Marketing membership, then people who are already working with you, who are already clients, who you've already got a relationship with, they are the most likely to say, yes, I'd like to come to that event. You know, I know you, I like you, I trust you. I think you're probably going to put a good event on. So I knew that they would be most likely. And in fact, when we look at the stats for my live events, generally about 40 to 50% of those who attend are members. So they're already paying members of my membership community. So that tells you quite a lot, I think. Also, people who are working with me in my mastermind group. So I have a number of mastermind groups, and these are groups where I work with business owners much more closely. And I have about three groups going now where I'm working with six business owners in a much more personalized way. And so those people, again, are much more likely to want to come to a live event because I do have a closer relationship with them, and they're probably more advanced in their business. Actually, Media Influence Live is my live event where I get in a room for a day with key journalists and influencers. And that's generally something people start thinking about. Getting press and getting media coverage is generally something people start thinking about once their business is a little bit more established. So those people who are working with me in my mastermind group, they pay me more money to be in that group. Then it sort of stands to reason that they're more likely to be interested in that event. There was also another group after the tickets went on sale that I would have considered my hot leads. And they were people who'd already bought tickets. So the people who've already bought a ticket for the event, they are most likely to maybe want to upgrade to a second day if you have that option, if you're running an event, or maybe upgrade to a VIP ticket, something like that. So I think it's really important that you keep marketing to your customers long after they've bought from you. So they should generally go into your hot leads group as well. Of course, they're the most likely to recommend you to their friends. That was my group of hot leads for my live event, Media Influence Live. And you can apply this principle to any product or service that you're launching. It's just thinking about who have you been doing business with recently? Who's your current customer? They usually are the people who's actually put themselves on a wait list or kind of put themselves forward in some way to say that they're definitely interested in your products or services. Some people say to me, your email list, does that mean that, you know, are they all hot leads? Or actually, for me, I've got about 15,000 people on my email list. I wouldn't say all of those were hot leads. I'd say that those people who are opening my emails regularly and clicking on events would be my hot leads. But not every event I put on is of interest to every single person at every stage of their business. So just because somebody's on my email list, then I wouldn't necessarily assume that that made them a hot lead. I think there's certain people who are very engaged on my email list, and particularly those who have looked at a lot of events, we might say they're hot leads. But even so, I think that I'm putting a lot of offers out there, and it would be sort of dangerous, I think, to assume that just because somebody's on my list that automatically makes them a hot lead. My next group, so if you're actually plotting this out, if you're doing this exercise with me, on paper, the next ring, so the next circle, is your warm leads. And the kind of people that I would put on your warm leads list are people who maybe you're engaging with regularly, but they've not yet become a customer, or maybe they were a customer in the past, but maybe it was a long, long time ago, or maybe it was something quite different. So for me, for my live event, Media Influence Live, for my warm list, I had people who were engaged with me on social media. So there's people who pop up on my Facebook page, in my Facebook group, on Twitter, on Instagram, and I engage with them regularly, but they've never actually bought a product or service. Or maybe they've bought my media diary, which is quite a low price product, but they've never invested in my membership or a live event or any mastermind or coaching or anything like that. So I would put those in the warm lead category. So they're certainly interested in me. They might listen to my podcast, they might read my blog, they might come to my Twitter chat on a Monday evening, but they haven't actually bought anything yet, or they've made a very small purchase like a book or a diary or something like that. So I wouldn't say that they were a super hot lead. The other group that I would say could be hot or warm leads for me would be my personal friends and friends of friends on Facebook. So I think people often overlook the power of personal connections. So if I'm running an event or I've got a new mastermind or something like that, we'll post about it on my personal Facebook wall because lots of my friends have businesses, but also lots of their friends have businesses as well. So if I'm not actually making that group alert or making them aware, I should say, of my products, services or events of things I've got coming up, then I'm kind of missing a trick. Then social media followers, I'd say warm. But again, I would say the only ones that are warm are the ones that are actually really engaging with you regularly and talking to you. I think just because somebody has liked your Facebook page, that doesn't make them into a warm lead. Just because somebody tweeted you once, that doesn't make them into a warm lead. But I think if you're noticing people who have, you know, for example, I might look through my direct messages on Instagram and see that there's a few people who mention me in their stories quite a lot, or people who've sent me direct messages quite a lot. I'd say those sort of people were warm leads. They haven't bought yet, but they're certainly interested and they're engaged enough to take a time out of their day to send me a message. And also there was another group that I missed off in our hot leads actually, and they're people who have actually got in touch. We keep a file of them, but people who get in touch and say, oh, I missed your event last year, can you let me know when it's coming up again? Or I'd love to come to one of your events, but I noticed there isn't one coming up for a while, can you let me know? So people have kind of made inquiries as well. We would put those in our hot leads as well. For me, my warm leads would also include my Facebook group. Now, people might say and have said to me in the past, well, surely people who are in your Facebook group are hot leads. But no, just because somebody's in your free Facebook group, I'm pretty sure there's some people in my free Facebook group who don't really know who I am and what I do. They've just joined the group because their friend has said it's a good group. They probably don't listen to my podcast. They probably don't read my blog or any of my content. They probably haven't got a clue who I am. They've just joined this group because their friend said it was good. So that's 13,500 people. That doesn't mean that those people are all hot or even warm leads. They could be completely cold because they've got no idea who I am. So my Facebook group, I'd say, would generally be kind of warm leads. So people are kind of interested, but a lot of the time they haven't bought anything yet. Lots of my customers start off in my free Facebook group and then they move to becoming paid customers, but that's only a small percentage. So that's why I would put them in warm leads. And then finally, we're into the third circle. So the outer part, the outer circle, and this is your cold leads. And the kind of people who are in this, well, a lot of times you don't even know them yet. So they're the kind of people that might respond to a Facebook ad or a LinkedIn ad, or they might be a new sign up on your email list because you've done some kind of challenge. But with your cold leads, a lot of the time you don't even know them yet. So I share this because, and I really encourage you to go through this process, because when I speak to my clients about launching a new product or service, often they are focusing most of their efforts on this outer ring. And I'm sure you'll agree with me that it's much harder to market to people that you don't even know who they are yet and they don't know who you are. It's much harder to do that than actually to go out to somebody who you've already got a relationship with, you've already worked with in the past. A big mistake I see lots of people making when they, particularly when people are kind of like in that situation where they're desperate to make sales, like maybe they haven't hit their target for that particular month or quarter and they're looking to make sales, is that they will put a lot of effort into attracting cold leads. But, you know, it can take a cold lead that comes through a Facebook ad, or a cold lead, you know, it could be a new follower on social media or a new sign up to your email list. It could take them months and months to convert, to get to that stage where they know, like, and trust you enough to buy from you. And if you need to make sales quick, if you haven't hit your sales target for that month or that quarter, then you're much better starting in the center. So what I'm going to do now is just take you through those different types of leads and talk about the kinds of activities that you might do to engage them. So with your hot leads, I'd say, you know, keep it really high touch. So when it comes to telling my hot leads about my events, for example, then obviously I use email. I've got an email list, so I can set up using Infusionsoft emails, automated emails to go out to these people. And that's absolutely fine. I do take a lot of time and care writing the email copy. But actually what's often much more effective, or is effective in tandem with that, is personal messages. So when I'm running an event or I've got a new product or service, I will have certain people in mind that I think this will be perfect for them. And particularly with an event, so I might send a personal message, I might send them a Facebook message, I might send them a Twitter message, I might send them an Instagram message and just say, look, I've got this going on, I thought it would be perfect for you. Now, just to give you an example of this, my recent event, Media Influence Live, I noticed that one of my Facebook friends, Tristan, I noticed that he'd posted that he had a new book coming out. And Tristan is like 47 and he looks about like 27, maybe 17 possibly. And so he's written this book about how not to age, basically, and it looked really fun. And I saw him posting about it on Facebook. I met Tristan a few years ago at another event. He's a friend of a friend. So I literally just sent him a Facebook message and said, Tristan, I've noticed you've got a book coming out. I've got this really fab event happening on July the 5th and 6th, and it's a chance for you to meet the media, so people from The Guardian, people from ITV, Good Morning Britain, from The Sun's Fabulous magazine. I think it would be really good. I think you need to be there. And Tristan booked a ticket, and it was actually one of our last minute tickets. So I think sometimes we forget when we've been in business for a while that actually that high touch approach can work really well. There's another delegate who came along to Media Influence Live, Jo Robertson, who's a birth photographer. And she actually messaged me on Twitter to ask me what I thought about her coming to Media Influence Live. So I went and had a look at her stuff. I had a look at her website, had a look at her social media profiles. And I went back and said, yeah, I think it would be really, really good for you to come to the event. And she ended up booking a ticket. And I think it doesn't matter how long we've been in business. I think there is this tendency to think that we need to automate everything. But actually, often that personal connection, that reassurance can be the thing that actually turns somebody from interested into actually becoming a customer. And it's interesting. I found myself asking the other day, is there ever a stage? Because obviously it can be quite tiring, quite exhausting to keep on top of all of this. Is there ever a stage where, you know, you can completely automate the whole thing? Then one of my clients said to me that Chris Ducker, who has the Youpreneur Summit in November in London, that he'd actually reached out to her personally on Twitter or Instagram, I can't remember which it was, to say, oh, I noticed you haven't booked a ticket. You came last year. Are you coming? I'd love to see you there. And, you know, that's a much bigger event than the kind of events that I run. But Chris is still using the personal touch. And I actually asked him about it. And he said, well, it just works, you know, and he sends a lot of personal video messages to people. And, you know, we'll kind of really do that one to one. And he said, you know, it works. And if that's what you need to do to fill your conference or to fill your event with the right kind of people, then that's kind of what you need to do. And I don't think you ever get to the stage where that personal touch doesn't matter at all. So obviously email, you can do automated email for your warm leads, but actually bear in mind that these high touch strategies, so when you actually reach out with someone, I actually, in one case for Media Influence Live, there was somebody who I thought it would be good for them to come along, but I could see there was a reason why they might not want to come because they might think that they were sort of almost in conflict with me. I'd heard by somebody else that they were thinking of coming, but they were a bit unsure about treading on my toes, whatever. So in that case, I actually had a call with them. I actually set up a Skype call, and I wouldn't do that generally for event tickets. So if you're thinking about booking a ticket to one of my live events, I generally wouldn't do a call with you. And if you did need a call, I would ask my assistant to do it. But in this particular case, I felt that it was really appropriate in this case because this person genuinely just wasn't sure whether it would be sort of treading on my toes or whatever. And that wasn't the case at all, but I knew that I needed to reassure them by speaking to them personally. So never, ever underestimate how important those high touch strategies can be. Sometimes you do need to jump on a call with somebody. Sometimes you do need to send that personal message or send a video message. And if you want to make sales, that's kind of what you need to do. And by the way, that's not just for service-based businesses. Also true for products. I'm not suggesting that you jump on calls or you send personal messages, you know, to sell a mug or to sell some coffee pods or to sell a piece of jewellery. But actually, I know actually somebody who came to my live event is Kiara Stone, who has Who Be New. And I know that she does, you know, if somebody asks a question or somebody is interested in one of her products, then she will shoot a quick direct message. And, you know, for 2 seconds of your time, if that takes somebody from interested in buying with one of your pet tags or one of your mugs or whatever to actually becoming a customer, they're likely not to be just a one-time customer. And the lifetime value of that customer, it can be well worth just going the extra mile and sending that personal message or whatever. People really do appreciate it. So email works really well. Personal conversations, I found also with hot leads that in person works so, so well. So I held a meetup in Kent. I'm going to cover this in an upcoming episode. But one of the things that I've started doing recently is running regular informal meetups for my community. And I held one in Kent in June. And one of the reasons for doing that, amongst others, I've multiple reasons for doing it, but one of them was that when it comes to live events, I think when I've met people in person, I've talked to them about the event and I've answered their questions about the event, then they often feel much more confident to book. So we actually ended up selling, you know, quite a few tickets from a live event. So a small meetup that I ran in Kent, and quite a few of those people who came along then decided to come along to my live event because they'd met me in person. They talked to me about it in person. I'd been able to answer their questions. I actually recently held a meetup in London the day before Media Influence Live, and I was showing people there. I was showing them our workbook. I was showing them our goodie bag. I was showing them some of the materials because I think often when people are on the fence about buying from you, it's because they don't fully understand. So if you can show them, if you can sit in front of them and answer their questions, then often that's all they need to make a decision to become a customer. And as I say, you have to think about the lifetime value of a customer. So sometimes having that personal conversation, sending that personal message, or even sometimes jumping on that call, it isn't just about making that one sale. It's about the lifetime value of that customer and all the friends that they might refer to. So it can be definitely worth doing that. So they're the sorts of activities that I would do with your hot leads. So definitely much more kind of reaching out personally. So email, messages, also possibly even calls if it's appropriate, face-to-face meetings, definitely will work really well for hot leads. In fact, it can feel so, so easy if you're just having a conversation. We literally said to one of the ladies who came along to my meetup, and she was talking about the tech startup that she was working in and some of the challenges they have. We just said to her, you need to come to Media Influence Live. Like, when you go back, ask them if they'll book you a ticket. She ended up booking a ticket, as did her boss. And so we essentially told, it was kind of like three tickets we ended up selling, just because we said, oh my God, you really need to be at this event. And it's a little bit like the example I shared with Tristan recently. When you're talking to the right people, it can literally just be, hey, this is happening, I think it'd be perfect for you. The person books their ticket or buys whatever it is that you sell. It can be that easy. Okay, so with your warm leads, what kind of activities should you be using? Well, I think webinars can work really well. Something that I do actually with my membership, which works really well for warm leads, so people kind of interested but haven't made the commitment. So we do something we call an open day. So that's when we organize a Zoom call where I invite people to have a look, and I show them on screen in the back of the membership site so they can see what it looks like. So I think with a membership site, sometimes it's difficult to kind of imagine what it is you're actually buying into. And I also invite current members along to talk about what it's like being a member. So those kind of things can work really, really well with your warm leads. And email marketing works well with warm leads as well. Social media can work well as well, but as long as you're not broadcasting. And I've recorded tons of episodes about how to actually create effective social media content, but just posting, hey, come to my event, or hey, buy my product or service, that isn't the kind of content that generally engages people. What you want to do is to start a conversation about your products and services. So if you are posting on social media saying things like, do you prefer this logo for my event or that logo? Do you think that we should have these kind of things in our goodie bag, or these kind of things? Do you like to get a free lunch at an event, or would you rather save money on the cost of your ticket price? So it's about starting conversations about your product or service. I know that a lot of my clients who run product-based businesses, they get a lot of traction on social media when they just post up things like, you know, so for example, I've got a client, Ali Ribchester, and she makes children's clothing. So when she says, should I buy this fabric, should I make this kind of clothing, or should I make this kind of clothing, she gets loads of engagement and people say, where can I buy? Where's the sales page? Where can I buy this thing? When can I buy it? And that is much more effective than just, you know, creating social media posts. You can also promote in Facebook groups as well, but again, it needs to be about starting conversations. So that's a little bit about how to engage your warm leads. So let's talk lastly about cold leads. So how do you attract cold leads? Well, obviously, there's lots of different ways that you can do that. One of the main ways to do it in the current climate, I think, is through Facebook advertising. But I think it's very rare that it works just to send an ad for your product or service. And thinking about it, I have only ever once bought something off a Facebook ad completely cold. And that was because it was perfect for me. It was perfect targeting. So the only thing I can think of I've ever, ever bought off a Facebook ad is I bought this thing called a flip belt, which is a belt that you wear when you're running. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I've got quite skinny arms. And so those sort of things that you buy to put on your arm to put your phone in so you can listen to music when you're running, they tend to just slide up and down my arm, which is like really annoying. So I saw this thing called a flip belt, which you kind of put over your head and it's kind of stretchy and you can put your phone in it. It even fits an iPhone 7 Plus, which is quite big. And so it was really solving a problem for me. And it was about, like, I think it was about 25 or 30 quid or something. But as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's perfect. That's solving my problem. I can't wear one of those things to hold my phone on my arm because it slides up and down. So this is absolutely perfect. And I bought that straight off a Facebook ad. But in most cases, one ad isn't enough. So we need to see a series of ads and we need to be retargeted before we'll buy. So generally, if you have a service-based business, so what that's usually about is getting people to opt into some kind of cheat sheet or a video series or some kind of useful resource, and then getting them onto your email list and then keeping in touch with them and sending a follow-up email sequence, which is generally known as a nurture sequence. When it comes to products, then I think Generally, what you'd be doing is retargeting. So you might show them, you might do a straight ad for your product, but then you might need to show it to them again, and maybe even a third or fourth time in order to get people to buy. So an example that comes to mind for me is I bought this Ted Baker dress that I saw on a Facebook ad. It was just plaguing me. So I saw this dress, I clicked on it and I thought, that's really nice. I really like to buy that. And then a few days later, the ad popped up again in my feed. And I think the third time I saw it, there was actually some kind of Ted Baker discount over the weekend or something. So I was able to buy it with 10% off or something like that. But with products, I think even then people generally don't buy the first time. So you might need to do some retargeting. So I hope this has given you a few ideas about how you can actually qualify your leads and reinforce the idea that actually when you are looking for new clients and customers, it's so much harder to start cold. There's so much more involved. But when you start with the people who are already doing business with you, people who already know, like, and trust you and they're friends, then it's often much easier. And I just want to share one last thing with you about that. If you ever find yourself in the situation where you are stuck, you know, maybe you haven't hit your sales targets for that particular month or quarter, just a really simple thing to do, and I encourage all of my clients in my mastermind to do this, is just to sit down and make a list of everyone that you've done business with in the last few years or something. I've got one particular client in my mastermind, Therese, and I've been really kind of working with her, with the rest of the group, and holding her accountable to do this. But literally, it's a case of just writing them all down and sending them an email or giving them a call and just saying, look, we haven't worked together for a while. Just wondered how things are going. And usually just from actually sending out that email or making those phone calls, you will get some customers and some sales. If you really want to get this process working really, really well, then what you want to do is to set up a process. So if you are a consultant, for example, and you deliver training or you do some kind of consultancy, then when you finish with a client, you set up a sequence of emails or a sequence of follow-ups. It doesn't have to be automated. You can just have it automated in the sense that it's all kind of diarized. But you know that after 3 days, you send them a follow-up email asking them how they're getting on. After 7 days, you send another follow-up email and maybe you send them a useful blog post or piece of content. Or, you know, one thing that I often suggest to my clients who work in a sort of consultancy capacity is that when they're finishing up with the client, they actually book in a follow-up call. So they book in a call 30 days later, 60 days later, whatever. And then on that call, they find out how the client's doing. They find out what's going well, what they might need more support with. And then they might make another offer and they might say, oh, well, actually, great that you're getting on really well with that and you're still struggling with that. Would it be worth us booking in some more time to look at that particular aspect? So I think the more work that you can do with your current clients, your current customers, the easier it's going to be with you. That's not to say that you shouldn't be trying to attract cold leads. You should be doing that all the time. But I feel that should be running in the background. So I generally have Facebook ads running in the background all the time. So I'm attracting new leads every single day. So sometimes I might be working. So when I've got a big launch coming up, I might do something like an online challenge or a webinar or something and get people involved in that. And by the way, that's another thing that you can do to engage your cold leads. But actually, I will have some Facebook ads that are just kind of running at a low level all the time so that I'm constantly attracting new leads all the time, because new leads often can take months or even years sometimes to convert. So from the time that somebody comes onto your list and they actually buy something from you, it can be years. And the other thing I didn't mention actually about cold leads is, ideally, you know, you don't want to be paying to attract those cold leads. So I've been building my email list for years. If you can attract traffic to your website in the form of a blog or a vlog, if you can get people over to your website and you've got something good to offer them. So if you've got a service-based business, then that might be some kind of cheat sheet or some kind of resource that helps them solve a problem. If you have a service-based business, it could literally just be some discount vouchers off the first order or referral discounts, that kind of thing. Then you can get people on your email list and keep in touch with them. So as I'm recording this, I have recently created a new lead magnet, so a new freebie that you can get from my website. And this sets out the marketing activities that you need to do to get to 1K a month, 2K a month, 5K a month, and 10K a month. And even though at the moment my business is very much in transition, I'm not actually doing any Facebook advertising at the moment because I've got this whole big rebrand still in process. But I'm getting probably about 20 signups a day from my website, from people signing up to these checklists on these marketing activities that get you to certain income levels. And so I'm getting new people, new leads on my list every single day. But that's kind of running in the background all the time. If I suddenly needed to bring some money into my business and I needed to get customers fast, I would go right to the middle of my circles and I would go for my warm leads, and that's where I'll be putting my focus in. So just to summarize on that, yes, you should always be trying to attract new leads, cold leads all the time, but that's just something you should be doing consistently. You should be running in the background all the time. If you find yourself in this situation where you do need to find new clients or customers, and you need to do it fast, you need to start in the middle of those circles. You need to start with your warmest leads first. So I hope you found that useful. I've shared a lot of information with you, and as ever, I do love hearing from you. I get a lot of emails. So what I'm saying to people now actually is often if you've got a question about the podcast or you've heard something interesting on the podcast, actually usually it's easier for you to get in touch with me via social media. So I'm on Twitter on Jan_Murray. I'm on Instagram over at JanMurrayUK, or you can come to my Facebook page, which is JanetMurrayUK.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.